Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can join the broadcast. You can pose your question, seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If something you need to talk about, let's do that right now. Call 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel, friends. We want to hear from you. So call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news of the gospel. And because he's alive, so many things are now true about us that weren't true before. When we come to Christ, we go from death to life. We go from being in Adam to being in Christ. And that's what we talked about yesterday, the fact that we are in Christ. Now, that's strange language for us, but it simply means that we are identified with Christ in all aspects. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3 of that letter, great letter, starting in verse 7. He says this, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." So there were a lot of things in Paul's life that were for his benefit and for his profit, his education, his intellectual acumen, his leadership abilities, his zeal for Judaism. All of those were powerful, powerful things and attributes of his life. But here he says, "I consider all of those things a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." That's a pretty bold statement.
Yes.
You can look all over the world. You can find all the delicacies, all of the riches, all of the, you can accumulate all the power and all the prestige, and it's nothing in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus. I wish there were more people on this planet that knew what Paul knows, and that Christ is everything. That's what this gospel message is all about. When you come to faith in Jesus, when you respond to that gospel message, guess who you get? You get Jesus. And God the Father, through the Spirit, wraps you up and places you into him. And now Jesus is this safe haven for you. He's your security. He's your everything. And there's nothing in this world that can compare. And then he goes on to say, "I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him." There was a point in Paul's life when he was outside of the person and work of Jesus Christ. He was persecuting Christians. He was on a rampage to try to rid the world of this sect that was threatening his way of life and his security as a Jew. And then he met Jesus on that road to Damascus, and everything changed. And he said, "I consider them all rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him." And at that moment, the Holy Spirit placed Paul into Christ. And there, Paul found everything that he was looking for. And this wonderful truth that he now had a righteousness that doesn't come from the law, but is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. That's what Paul wanted in life. That's what he was striving so desperately to achieve, is a right standing before God. But he was miles away. Yeah. And the more he tried, the further away from that right standing with God that he got. But then he met Jesus. He was placed into Jesus, and he received the righteousness that only Jesus can give. So if you're in Christ, what are you? As righteous as Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's given you his righteousness. That's what it means to be a child of God, that
right.
You've been made righteous in the sight of God. That is huge, folks, and I just challenge you to think about that. Not just look at it as a nice thing to say, but really think through the implications. Seek the Lord on it ask him to teach you what that means, that you stand in the righteousness of Christ. It'll blow you away. It'll change your mind.
Yeah.
It will change your life, and it will change your relationship with Jesus. If you're afraid of Jesus, if you're fearful of punishment, if you're living a life of shame and guilt and all of those sort of things, let God teach you about the righteousness you have in Christ. It will wipe all of that away. I promise.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of open lines. If you want to pose a question or some particular topic to discuss, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York, New York, and talk with Gilbert, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gilbert.
I have a question. I have a friend that, you know, regarding about a Christian commits suicide. He believes that, you know, you describe for heaven if you're a believer and want, you know, if you commit suicide because you can repent.
Well, heaven or a right standing with God is not, we don't gain that through our repentance. It's by grace through faith sort of thing. Repentance is a part of that. But when we repent at conversion, man, we're born again into the family of God. And then God's grace is bigger than anything that we might do ever in our lives. God's grace has secured us. God's grace has placed us in the hands of Christ, and no one can snatch us out of his hands. And then God's grace has placed the hand of Christ in whose hands we are, and placed those in the Father's hands. And no one can snatch us out of the Father's hands if we're in Christ. And that's, Gilbert, that's the question. The big question. If a person is in Christ, they are in Christ forever. They are secured there by the person and work of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And once you're in Christ, you will never be outside of Christ.
All right, I have a question. So what is repentance? Repentance doesn't get you into heaven, you know. How explain to him?
Well, Gilbert, repentance, when you look up the word repentance, well over 90% of the time, it's always a word used at the moment of conversion or salvation, okay? So we've gone about our merry lives living in unbelief. We didn't know we needed a Savior. We didn't know we had a problem. We didn't know there was an issue. So we were just going through life, living our lives as we saw fit. We were independent of God. We were calling the shots. It was our baby, so to speak. And then life hits us pretty hard. We fall flat on our faces. We get humbled, and we start to seek some answers. Where can I find truth? Where can I find real meaning and purpose to life? Where can I find an identity that is unchangeable? Where can I find those things? And along that quest, somehow you intersect with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe a friend tells you about the Lord. Maybe you go to a church service. Maybe you go to a crusade. Maybe you search the internet. Maybe you scan across the radio dial and you find a program like this, and you hear about the gospel, that Jesus became one of us, both Lord and God, living in human flesh, and he offered himself as that one sacrifice to take away your sins, and was buried and then was raised back to life so that you could have everlasting life. Well, as you hear, listen, Gilbert, as you hear that gospel story, something starts to happen in your heart. It starts to move from unbelief to belief in Jesus. That's what repentance is. So it's a word that really identifies what happens inside of you in response to the grace of God that is revealed to you through this gospel message. So repentance is that act that brought about by the work of God's Spirit of the heart moving from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ. So
all right, so with So repentance is based on what Jesus did for us. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
And that's the way it always is. Repentance, you know, you ask, we have that question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And I think repentance falls into that. Which comes first, repentance or forgiveness, or repentance or this grace of God? And in that question, it's always the grace of God comes first, which leads us to repentance.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, well, no. So how I explained to him, repentance is a part of it, but it's for regeneration, right?
Regeneration. And if a person's been regenerated,
yeah,
it's a forever thing. You know, I guess it was last year sometime that Rick Warren, the pastor at Saddleback Church out in California, his son committed suicide. Well, they've known that their son had mental illness and that sort of thing, but they also knew that he had a sincere faith in Jesus Christ. So they believe that their son is in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because of the work of Jesus. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think if anybody has come to faith in Jesus Christ, they can rest assured that when they're absent from the body, they're going to be present with the Lord.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Gilbert. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
1-800-677-9377. We have calls on the line, but hey, room for you right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go back to New York and talk with Emmanuel listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Emmanuel.
Yes, hi. Hi. Love your show. It's a blessing.
Well, thank you.
I have a question, and it's I'm going to confess it's about myself, and it has to do with adultery. I got saved many years ago. I strayed from the path, and I engage in multiple adulterous relationships. I came back to the Lord, reconciled. I remarried. I divorced my first wife, and I remarried. So the Bible says that whoever divorces his wife, there's different the different gospels outline. One says, except for adultery. So what's been bothering me is I'm serving the Lord faithfully, and every time I read that verse, because I am remarried and I've been faithful to the Lord first, it's the only way I can be faithful to my wife. So am I in a perpetual adulterous relationship with my new wife, even though I reconciled with the Lord? And that's the question that I have, because I read that and I know about God's grace, and, you know, I just need someone to clarify that for me.
Well, Emmanuel, the Mosaic Covenant would identify you in that way, but you're no longer under the Mosaic Covenant. We're in a new covenant. You've been born again into the family of God, and you have come to know Jesus personally. You have been born again. The Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in you. Is that all true in your life, Emmanuel?
That is correct. I just want to point out that when my first marriage, it was after I was saved and I got married through the church. And, you know, when you stray from the path and you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit because you want to just follow your sinful nature. And that's pretty much what I did. You know, like I said, you know,
well, I think, Emmanuel, what the Lord would say to you, I mean, he's not going to tell you that you need to divorce your current wife and then try to get reconciled to your first wife and then get remarried to her. That's going to make this situation so much more complex and complicated. I think what he's going to tell you is, listen, you went along your merry way. You were making some decisions that got you in a heap of trouble. But my son Jesus died in your stead. My son Jesus shed his blood so that you could have everlasting life. Now, as far as marriage is concerned, you go be the husband that I've designed you to be to this current wife. I think that's what the Lord would say to you. And, you know, he's not going to condone what you did in the past. He certainly didn't sweep it under the rug. He judged it. He judged it harshly, and Jesus paid the penalty for you. But I think he is going to say to you, Emmanuel, let's be wise moving forward. Let's allow the grace of God to mold and shape you and to bring you to that point where you can love this wife, your current wife, as Christ loves you.
Absolutely. You are so right. I just needed some guidance because, it takes away my peace every time I read his word and I read that verse. And I know I'm going to give accountability for my actions, thank God for, our Lord and Savior who redeemed us. But I just needed someone to pretty much go in depth and bring me the peace that I needed. And God bless you for clarifying that for me.
Well, you're welcome, Emmanuel, and thanks for your call. And, there's a lot of folks like you that are in the exact same situation, and they're wondering, what in the world does God think about this? Well,
absolutely. My fear is that, the adulterer will not enter the kingdom. And, when you read that verse, you think about the Lord, am I going to serve you for the rest of my life?
Well,
with
that's
my new wife, and then you understand.
Yeah. Well, and that's where this issue of identity comes in. You're not an adulterer. You committed adultery. But you're a child of God. That's your identity. And children of God are going to be in God's presence forever. He's made sure of that through the work of Jesus.
Thank you so much, brother. God bless you.
Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Nick in Jersey City, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. My question was, 1 John... I don't have the scripture in front of me, but it's from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 on,
okay,
where it's talking about if we have sin in us and we say we don't, we're liars and that. Who is the writer speaking to in those verses, the unsaved or the saved church?
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to read verses 8 and verses 10 to you, and then I'll ask you the question, who do you think John is writing to? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So that's verse 8. And then in verse 10, it says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Do you think that's describing a believer or an unbeliever?
It sounds like he's describing an unbeliever.
Yeah.
But
you're not claiming to be without sin, are you?
No.
My question really is leading to,
go ahead.
I wouldn't be claiming that. Bob Davis wouldn't be claiming that. You're not going to find a Christian on this planet who claims to be without sin. You're not going to find a Christian on this planet who says they have never sinned and who's making God out to be a liar. You're not going to find a Christian on this planet who does that.
Right. Okay, because the reason I wanted to clarify that with you is because the question is, as a believer, we discussed in the past last month, there was a lot of discussion about, once saved, always saved, which I believe, and when we sin, because like he says, but when we sin, we have an advocate who's the Father.
That's correct.
He's talking only to non-believers there. In other words,
here's the deal.
I'll tell you what I do. When I sin, as a believer, I still feel, not for salvation purposes, but I still feel better, and I feel like it's kind of somewhat necessary for other reasons to just repent, confess what I did. Even though I know I'm saved, God's paid for it already, it's like,
Well, what else would you do?
Something that feels more natural.
Yeah. Yeah. What else would you do? And let me tell you a passage. It talks about in 2 John that the apostle gets great joy to know that his children are walking in the truth. Okay. So that brings the apostle great joy. It brings the Lord great joy to know that we're walking in the truth, and it brings us great joy when we're walking in the truth. Well, what does walking in the truth mean when we've sinned? Well, it means that we agree that we've sinned. It means that we say the same thing about that God does. That's walking in the truth. And then we continue walking in the truth when we believe that Jesus has already dealt with that once and for all, that Jesus' blood took that away, that Jesus' blood satisfied the punishment for that sin. and that God the Father is propitiated, that he's satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf. So when we sin, it's as natural as breathing for a Christian to confess that, to agree right. with God concerning that sin. And we can freely, because we know we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, the one who gave himself for us. So we don't have to fear. And that's why this is right. such a significant passage in 1 John. And if we follow it, we see that starting in verse 6, there's a series of if statements all the way through verse 10. And it's always followed, if we. And it's more of an editorial we. And then John changes the tenor of the letter as he moves into chapter 2. He says, "My children, I write this to you." So there's a segue, and he's going to say some very specific things to the children of God, one of which is this. In verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2, he says, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." That's good news, isn't it?
So, absolutely.
And that's what frees us to freely and honestly confess. Knowing that Jesus has already dealt with it enables me to be truthful with what's really going on inside. If I don't believe that Jesus has forgiven my sin, I'm going to hide those sins deep within my heart. That's just the way it works. The forgiveness enables those sins to come to the surface for us to lay them out on the table and to get God's directives on what we're to do with those. And they're specific, it'll come out in just a minute, specific directives. So if you've done something against your wife, there's going to be a very clear thing the Spirit of God is going to lead you to do. And so we can trust right. the Spirit of God to lead us down those right paths.
Right. Okay, so bottom line is you believe that we should bring those before the Lord and bring them before the Lord.
Well, if we're going to walk in truth, yes.
Yeah. And then thank him.
Right. Yeah, okay. I just misunderstood then what you might have been saying last month when we were talking, because
it's not for forgiveness,
about.
Nick. That's where so many people, I think,
that's
mess up.
Where I was confused. Yeah. Right, okay. That's where I was confused, that I thought you guys were saying that it's not necessary to at all.
No. No, it's if you're going to walk in truth, the freedom that you have in the fact that you have been forgiven enables you to bring those to the surface and to see them for what they really are and allow God's Spirit to lead you in the right way from that point forward, okay?
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Nick. Thanks for your call. Great question today. And it reminds me of this new resource that we have available, Stand, Find a Solid Footing in a Broken World. It's 6 messages plus a question and answer session, and we actually deal with the question that Nick addressed today, plus a roundtable discussion. If you want to know what it means to walk in truth, if you want to know what it means to find solid footing in this broken world, we encourage you to pick up a copy of Stand. All the information on how to do that is at stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. You can purchase this resource as a DVD, a CD product, or in the MP3 format. But this is one of those life-changing resources. Take advantage of it. We have special discounted prices right now between now and the end of this week. So get Stand. Finding solid footing in a broken world.
Yes, discounted pricing, free shipping, and 2 teleseminars that you have produced. So that would be a good thing. But those go away on Friday, so Friday is the deadline. I want to remind you also that this month, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive a 4-message series by Bob Christopher called When God Is For You. In the series, you'll learn the truth about God's love for you and realize your true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God is for you, to make your gift and request your copy today, why, visit us at basicgospel.net or phone your gift and your request to 1-800 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.